Welcome to episode 317 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. At Legacy Realty, we combine the best of both worlds. The local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro with the innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa. Local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. All right, well, we're going to preview the Jayhawk football game tonight. Later on, I'll be talking to Ankeny coach Jeff Bauer and one of his key players, and I'll also be previewing the game with a special guest. But right now, we're going to hear the Ankeny Centennial perspective on the game. To my left is the co-head coach of the Jaguars. He has helped guide the team to a 2-1 record thus far. He is Ryan Pizzetti. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. And to my right is a senior linebacker for the Jaguars who currently leads the team with 23.5 tackles through three games. He also has one of the team's three fumble recoveries. He is Will Morris. Will, thanks for joining me. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. All right. Well, I'm just going to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you. Coach, let's start with you. You guys opened the season with a 30-14 loss at the four-time defending state champ Southeast Polk, but you bounced back with a couple of lopsided wins over Linmar and Des Moines Lincoln. You know, considering how many new players, new starters you've had this season, you know, I'm guessing you probably feel pretty good about where the team is right now.
You know what? We knew that first game coming out of Southeast Polk, we had a lot of unanswered questions, and our kids played really well at times, and then they got away from us at the end, and then regrouping for Linmar and then sharpening some things up for Lincoln. You look at that middle third of the season, you know, with Ankeny, and then what a comment you can have towards them with what they've done with their program this year, rebuilding as well, having new starters on offense and defense. We know Friday's going to be a tough task for us.
And Will, you guys went on to Southeast Polk in that season opener, and you were tied with the Rams at 7-7 midway through the third quarter before a couple of big plays on special teams, you know, really turned the game in their favor. Your defense only gave up 259 yards on about 60 plays in that game, you know, which is not a terrible number. You know, were you confident that you guys would be able to make some adjustments and rebound the way that you did in these last two games?
Yeah, for sure. I thought we played a pretty good game for Southeast Polk. They're a very good coach and good team, but I thought we bounced back well and just preparing for Ankeny this week.
Well, Coach, you've had a lot of different guys step up this season. Perhaps nobody has been more noticeable than senior running back J.J. Morgan. He's scored four touchdowns in each of the last two games. He's now rushed for 440 yards on just 27 carries. You know, that's an average of more than 16 yards a carry. Well, what can you say about his performance thus far?
You know what? He's a talented young man. He's waited his turn. You know what? Being behind Elijah Porter and Brady Jackson for 2 years, we knew when his time would come, he would flourish, and he has for sure.
And Will, your defense has allowed an average of just under 240 yards per game. You guys have also been very opportunistic. Kiefer Reed had a pick six against Linmar, and then Ryland Pizzetti had two interceptions in the win over Lincoln, one of which resulted in a touchdown. So you guys have been able to turn some of those turnovers that you forced into points. Is that something that that the defense works on in practice? You know, if you pick off a pass or if you pick up a fumble, that you try to take it the other way?
Yeah, for sure. We emphasize a lot on that, and I think it's paying off.
For sure. And Ryan, what can you say about the development of your sophomore quarterback, Brecken Miller? He had his best game of the season last Thursday against Lincoln. He completed 8 of 10 passes for 167 yards and 3 touchdowns. You know, would you say that he's kind of solidified his hold on that spot now?
You know, he's really turned it on of late and done some nice things. I think it's a compliment to him being a multi-sport athlete, and what he did in playing varsity baseball this past year wasn't his first time being in front of a lot of people in a stressful situation. And just like I said earlier, you know, this middle third of the season, you know, I look for him to really improve and take the next step against quality teams.
Well, do you think last week's game was important, you know, to show that you guys can throw the ball too and to help take some of the pressure off of JJ in the ground game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we do have a bad rap of running the ball. And, you know, you look at our stats, that's just not true. I think last year we threw the ball 35, 40% of the time. And this year we want to do much of the same, you know. But if you are scoring and you are moving the ball on the ground, that's what you need to do. If you have to throw every down, which personally I would like to do, but that's just not the way it goes in high school football. It's hard to protect the quarterback. It's It's hard to throw the ball downfield, and you got to have balance to create that. And JJ does that, and nice receivers, and what Brecken has done of late, you know, that complements each other.
And Will, coach told me coming into the year that he thought the defense would be the strength of your team, you know, at least early on. But what have you seen from your team's offense? Do you think that they've made a lot of progress in the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's only one or two returning starters on that team, offensive side. So just kind of them picking it up and doing their part.
Let's break down Friday's game now. Of course, you guys will be looking for your second straight win over the Hawks after posting a 31-10 victory last year. That game was tied at halftime, though, and the history of this series has seen a lot of close games. The previous four meetings were all one-score games decided by a total of just 18 points. So, Will, do you expect another close game?
Yeah, for sure. Inky-inky game will always be a dog fight to win, so just excited to go out there and brawl.
And Coach, Ankeny opened its season with a heartbreaking one-point loss to Waukee Northwest, which looks like one of the best teams in Class 5A. The Hawks then rebounded with a couple of impressive wins versus Waukee and Des Moines Roosevelt, so they also enter Friday's game with a 2-1 record. You know, defensively, they held Waukee quarterback Beckett Baker to just 157 total yards, and of course, then last Friday, they pitched a shutout against the Rough Riders. You know, what has impressed you about their defense, and what challenges do they present for your offense?
You know what? They could very well be 3-0 with that game against Waukee Northwest. It's, you know, first game. Mistakes are made, and they very well could have won that game. They're coming back with two solid wins, and now offensively, they're very talented across the board at their skill positions. Up front, they're very, very good. And defensively, what they do is they try to displace gaps for us and make sure they put us in check, and they do a very good job at that as well.
And Will, this game will feature two of the top five rushers in Class 5A. Of course, Yankees offense is led by senior running back Daniel Larmy. He leads Class 5A with 527 yards and 86 carries. The Hawks have obviously relied heavily on him in the first three games, and they've kind of stuck to their ground attack because it's been so consistently successful. Larmy is grinding out about 6 yards a carry. So has he been the focus of your defensive game plan? Do you feel like you have to find a way to slow him down and make them throw it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Larmy's definitely a great running back, and this week we've been prepping for him a lot, and just go out there and play our defense, and should be good.
And Coach, Ankeny has shown the ability to throw the ball, you know, too. The Hawks have a first-year starter quarterback in Kale Roush. He's passed for 459 yards and 5 touchdowns. Andrew Brandhorst has been his favorite receiver. He has 17 catches for 211 yards and 4 scores. You know, and at 6'2", he's pretty tough to defend, isn't he?
We've played against him for 3 years now, and he's very, very talented. We saw him in 7-on-7 last spring, and he's definitely a playmaker, and they complement each other. With Larmy and Brandhorst, they do a great job complementing each other. And the quarterback, you know what, he's a manager, but he makes plays. He's very sneaky at what he does, and very talented in his own right.
And Will, this is a huge rivalry game, of course, and the winner that will come away with a 3-1 record, and they'll be sitting in a pretty good spot as far as making the playoffs. The loser is going to be 2-2, and we'll still have a lot of work to do. You know, you guys still have some games coming up against Valley and Dowling, so the stakes for this one, you know, since it's coming a little bit later in the season than it typically does, you know, they're probably higher than usual, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is a pretty good game, but just another game. We're not trying to fit too much of it.
And Coach, I talked to you after that Southeast Polk game. You talked about, you know, how those special teams miscues were really the difference in that game. You know, do you feel like you guys have cleaned some things up in those areas the last couple of weeks?
I do. I think the staff's done a great job improving our special teams, offense, defense, just making sure we're coming together and doing what we need to do to play complementary football.
And certainly on any Friday night, those special teams plays can make the difference, can't they?
Absolutely.
Well, Will, I'll let you guys go with this one last question. You've been a part of several Jayhawk games in both football and baseball. You're coming off an all-state season in baseball, and I'm assuming that maybe that's the sport you want to pursue in college. But what has been your favorite memory in the Jayhawk rivalry thus far? If you guys are able to come out on top Friday, you know, what would this win mean to you?
It'd be electric. I mean, I plan to play baseball in college, but nothing beats Friday Night Lights.
So that win last year was pretty sweet, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks a lot for coming in tonight, guys.
Thank you.
You bet. Listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skin care, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive Loves Anchorage is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, well, I'm joined right now by a special guest. He's one of the play-by-play voices for CISN-TV, and he'll be on the mic Friday for the Jaghawk game, and he's also an Emmy winner, I see. And that's incredibly cool. He's Paul Yeager. Paul, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good to be here. Gosh, everybody finds that on the internet. That's a long time ago there on the TV side of things.
You know, I couldn't find exactly what you want it for, though. Can you explain what you want it for?
I want it for a show that's no longer with us, the Iowa Journal. And it was an Upper Midwest Emmy, maybe 2010, 2009. And then we were canceled after the last around the budget cuts. So market to market is what I primarily do now at Iowa PBS, and then girls sports, and now boys sports, football, boys basketball, wrestling. I'm not exactly sure what my roles will be in all of those, but yeah, I'm going to have to read everything you do now, Dan.
Yeah.
Not just the girls stuff, but in football.
Well, most of us on Yankee fanatics. So, well, hey, I want to get your thoughts on Friday's matchup. You know, I know you called the Hawks game last week and you've seen the Jags on film. And I feel like even though both teams are 2-1, and this is the latest that I think they've ever met in the regular season, I still feel like I don't have a grasp for this Centennial team. I was at their opener at Southeast Pope and they retired midway through the third quarter. You know, then they had a couple of special teams blunders that they weren't able to recover from. You know, the Jags were able to bounce back with a couple of impressive wins the last 2 weeks. You know, but I saw the Lindmar game, and they frankly weren't very good. And I don't imagine Lincoln was much better last week. You know, and the jury's kind of out on how good Southeast Polk is too, right?
Well, if you look at the computers and you get a sense of how good is this team or another, we look at Liberty, who came over into Southeast Polk and just whitewashed them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was 31-38, nothing. But remember, Polk started slow last year.
They did.
And they were the ones holding the trophy at the end of the year. I never count out what Brad Zelenovich does over there at Southeast Polk. So I'm not ready to close the book. Huge game for them on a Friday night with Dowling.
For sure.
We'll see how that one goes. Our friend Andy will always tell us what really happened. But
right.
When you look at the Jags and Hawks, yes, latest that I can remember this series being started in 2013 when Centennial opened. It was 110 degrees that first night. We've had overtime. We've had close games. And then you had last year where Centennial just took control, and I'm not 100% sure they've forgotten about the south side.
Right. That game was tied at halftime, though, so
I know
it wasn't really a blowout until late.
But Brady Jackson was doing Brady Jackson's thing. That was truly his coming out party last year. I think that's when everybody realized, okay, this guy can play. We knew he had that potential. I knew it when I coached him in Little League, Dan. You know, the brain was special, and let alone all the DNA and the family side of things. But, you know, he's done well. And that, to me, is part of this game story on Friday. Two good running backs. Two very good running backs. I mean, you've got Daniel Armey, who is in the top. He is the top in 5A for rushing yards, all-purpose yards, and I think carries. The carries is a concern if you're Coach Bauer, that's maybe too many.
Right.
And then you've got J.J. Morgan, who we watched his brother Ty play. We knew he had that potential. Missed a few games last year. He's back and performing extremely well, if I might add.
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah, I was just going to say, you're probably going to open up your broadcast talking about the two running backs. That's really the top storyline, isn't it?
I think so. I don't know what it is. I mean, these two teams are darn close. You look at Tim Halver, who will be calling the game with me. He sent me something today before we recorded this. Of, look at these stats. And it was like rushing and attempts and passing and attempts and completions and touchdowns and everything together. They've scored, I think one scored 98 points this year. The other one's 98. The difference is in how much they've allowed.
Mm-hmm.
I think you look at Ankeny and they have the two maybe little tougher games with Waukee and Northwest. Roosevelt wasn't quite much of a game, whereas that Polk game is Centennial's biggest one. And I think that first half was a struggle. But as Coach Pizzetti has told me this week, he said, hey, look at that last couple of drives that Brecken Miller did for us. We think he is really starting to get settled in. And I'm like, you don't have to sell me on Brecken Miller. I know he's a good athlete, good family, competitive guy. You know, when you've got two brothers that have gone through the program, he knows what to expect of this.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about him here in a minute, but do you think it's too simplistic to say that whichever one of the two backs has the better game will probably determine the outcome?
I think that's as close to a barometer as anything that you could say. I think your big question mark, your X factor, your Y, whatever you want to solve for is going to be how well can Ankeny pass. That's been the thing trying to watch Roush and Brandhorst get on the same page. it has, there's been a couple of times where Brandhorst has maybe been just half a step behind the high and the low. And it's like watching Mahomes and Kelce so far this year. Not quite, but then last week, kind of locked in. And if Ankeny can throw the football, I don't think they're going to even, the running won't be as big of a need. But that being said, Myers is a pretty good receiver for Centennial. And if Brecken Miller can find him, if they feel that he is rolling out and finding what he needs to, look out.
Well, you mentioned the number of carries that the backs have had, and that is one of the big differences between the two of them. You know, Larmy's had a couple of games with 30-plus carries. They were able to reduce his touches last week to just 16. Morgan has only had, 27 carries in three games. That's 9 carries a game. And I'm guessing that this game is close until the end. He's going to have to be used a lot more than that. And I think it'll be interesting to see if he can still be productive as he gets tired, when the game wears on.
And hopefully we are under 90 degrees at kickoff and we don't have the cramping, but we also are in week 4. These guys are in as good a football shape as they're probably going to be. Therefore, that fourth quarter could be a lot of fun if it's close.
Well, what do you see as some other keys to this game?
You could look at the case that Centennial's yet to kick a field goal. Ankeny has kicked a couple, but they had an issue with a kicker being hurt. So special teams? It could be a huge question mark between these two teams. I know that new offensive coordinator Rob Luther, not a fan of punting the football. If they don't have to punt the ball, Ankeny might just, we're going to see, we've seen at other levels of football here lately, Dan, is teams will go for it on fourth down a lot more. I think both these teams think they can go for it on a fourth down. So if I had to say something's interesting, third and fourth down could be where this game is won.
When you mentioned the temperature, I see there's also maybe like a 50 to 60% chance of rain on Friday. And I would have thought that, that this was a game that might be won in the trenches. But if we see some rain, it might become even more of a run-heavy contest. Do you think rain would favor one team or the other?
I think a lot of these teams will tell you, we can throw on any condition. But tell me the last time they actually had practice in the rain. It's been a while. So you can't practice it, and all of a sudden you got to do it at game speed? That's totally different. I mean, could they be dunking footballs in the bucket this week? I don't know if they have. Ask Coach Fowler if they've done that. To you, a little for that. But you look at the lines; they're pretty even. Their offensive lines, the defensive lines. I think Centennial had a couple more. I mean, they are Deacon Cahey is playing some both sides of the ball. That's a factor that I think those guys know it. They're in shape. They rotate them in and out enough to get them good breathers. But Ankeny's been doing kind of the same thing. You look at Westemeyer, Andy Liu. They usually rotate about 5 or 6 guys on that defensive line to try to keep things fresh. But in a big, tough situation, you don't rotate as much.
Well, I talked about this with Coach Pizzetti and Will Morris a few minutes ago, but with this game being later in the season than it has been previously, I mean, this is a huge game as far as, setting yourself up for playoff position, because the losers are going to be 2-2, and they both got some tough games, left to go. It's going to be big, isn't it?
Yeah, you had last year where Ankeny was near 500 going into the last couple of weeks of the season, and I think they get in, and then, they're really a couple of plays away from playing in the Unidome.
Sure. Right.
Centennial, I think right now you could argue that there could be a whole lot of teams 5-4, 6-3 before the season is done. I still like the four teams that are at the top of 5A in the rankings, being Northwest, Liberty, Dowling, and Southeast Borough and Valley. I think it's really the fight to see who can hit them in the quarterfinals, but you've got a long way to go. Ankeny could easily hop up there. Centennial could hop back up in there, but both teams have to play Valley. Dowling still has a game against a Dowling.
The Jags.
They both have to play Valley, and then the Jags have to play Dowling later. So they both have tough games. Sioux City East comes next week. We don't know everything about Johnston yet that Ankeny's going to have to play. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of football yet to be played. But to answer your original question, I thought week 2 was a breakout week. Last week didn't tell me anything for anybody. This week will be, because you look at Valley and Waukee, huge game to kind of say where those two teams. I think that's probably a must win for Waukee. And just think if they do knock out Valley, that changes things dramatically in 5A.
Yep, and just when you think you got things figured out, it seems like something always changes, right?
No one has it figured out, at all.
Yeah. Well, hey, Paul, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it, and it should be a great game on Friday. I'll see you there.
Thank you, Dan.
You bet. It's been the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Vibe Dermatology Clinic and Spa. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast and is the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic as well. We appreciate their support and hospitality over here at the Standard Building on the northeast side of town at Bowder Creek. This is where we record the podcast each week. All right, well, now we're going to hear the Southside perspective on the game. To my left is the third-year head coach at Ankeny. He has guided the Hawks to a 2-1 record thus far. He is Jeff Bauer. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you bet. And to my right is a senior receiver for the Hawks. He leads the team with 17 receptions for 211 yards and 4 touchdowns through 3 games. He is Andrew Brandworth. Andrew, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good.
You bet. Well, all right, we're just going to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you. Coach, we'll start with you. You guys opened the season with a tough 1-point loss to Waukee Northwest, which appeared to be one of the top teams in Class 5A, but you have since bounced back with a couple of impressive wins over Waukee and Des Moines Roosevelt. You know, all things considered, you know, you can't be too disappointed with where your team is at right now.
No, very pleased. We obviously kind of felt like we let one slip away week one when we outgained Northwest by 150 yards, but you know, it was a learning experience. We played hard, came back against a good Waukee team, and got the win. And then last week, obviously, with Roosevelt, we started rolling. But defense and Coach McGackin's defense, they're just lights off right now. I mean, they're playing hard. So they're, you know, end of the year form almost, feels like. And offensively, we move the ball. We shot ourselves in the foot way too much, probably too many penalties. But yeah, we have a lot of guys in offense that can make plays. So,
and Andrew, like Coach just said, you know, you guys had a chance to win that season opener against Northwest, but then a couple of bounces, you know, went the other way, and they made some big plays to pull it out. But your team did some really good things in that night. You had 8 catches for 108 yards and a touchdown, and overall, your offense produced more than 400 yards. You know, did you walk away from that game thinking that you guys would be okay if you just cleaned a few things up?
Yeah. Quarterback Hill played really well, besides a couple of throws. First year, first game, I thought he stayed poised and great. And our new OC, Coach Luther, he has a really good game plan going into every week, and I'm confident with him going into any game he plays against the team.
And Coach, you've had a lot of different guys step up this season. Nobody's been more productive than senior running back Daniel Army. He leads Class 5A in rushing with 527 yards and 86 carries, and has ran for 4 touchdowns. You know, what can you say about his performance thus far?
No one's surprised by it. He's done this for, this is 3rd year now. Obviously, shared carries with Pankus the last couple years. Now that he's the guy, we've probably truthfully overused him. I've told our coaches we have to cut his touchdown. We have other guys that can move the ball and score for us, but you just get in the comfort zone because you know when you give it to him, it's 5 yards. Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously you stay ahead of the chains that way.
Well, you were able to limit his touches to 16 in last week's game against Roosevelt, but you said he did take a helmet to the thigh early in that game. You know, did he recover okay from that?
Oh, yeah. He's fine. He got a small bruise, but he's almost 95%.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to mind that contact either.
No.
And Andrew, even though you guys, you know, have one of the state's best running backs, you have shown ability to throw the ball as well. Your first-year starter quarterback that you mentioned, Kel Roush, has completed 43 of 67 passes for 459 yards and 5 touchdowns. You know, how do you think he is progressing? Have you been able to develop some pretty good chemistry with him?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we grew up together. He's my neighbor. So that always helps. We're out throwing the ball always. We both know. I know where he's looking. He knows when I'm going to be at play.
And Coach, you guys have a dynamic playmaker on defense as well, and defensive back Mars Clark, who's picked off a pass in each of the last 2 games, and he had a pick 6 against Roosevelt. You told me last week that he's a special player because he has instincts that you just can't teach. You know, does he allow you to do some things on defense that maybe you otherwise wouldn't do just because, you know, you can maybe leave him on an island with a receiver and not worry about him?
Yeah, he can almost race. I mean, if he's on that side of the field, he sees the ball. It's amazing. Coach McGackin, I mean, they love having him. Obviously, he's so instinctive. They can do a lot of different things with him. But he can play corner. He can play safety. You know, the knock on him was that he was only 160 pounds last year. But he's worked in the weight room. He's up in the 170s now. And he's had a couple big hits this year, showing other people that he'll come up and knock you too. So He's a complete player.
I would imagine he's getting some looks from some schools, isn't he?
Oh, he is. He is. And yeah, we'll see how big they end up being. But he's real special.
And Andrew, your defense allowed just 13 points in the win at Waukee, where they held a pretty good quarterback in Beckett Baker to just 157 total yards. And then your D pitched a shutout last week against Roosevelt. You know, how do you feel like the defense is progressing? Do you think it's one of the better defensive units in the state?
Going against some dynamic offenses right away, being able to play as well as they did, shows a lot to the coaches, but also the players. And Nate Jenkins played a really good game, first game. Not many people know about him. Which is any person on defense could have a day where they just go and play better than anyone else.
Uh-huh. And coach, when you look at Centennial season thus far, the Jaguars are also off to a 2-1 start. They opened with a loss to Southeast Polk, but they've rebounded with a couple of lopsided wins over Linmar and Des Moines Lincoln. They've been led by their senior running back, J.J. Morgan, who has scored 9 touchdowns on the season, and he's averaging a whopping 16 yards a carry. You know, do you feel like stopping him will be the key for your defense, and how do you go about doing that?
Yeah, well, you can't stop him. He's obviously special. I keep telling people, I mean, between Lord and, J.J., I mean, we got two dynamic special running backs in this game, frankly. But we just hope we can slow him down. You know, he can take it at distance anytime. And defense has been stressing. I mean, our tackle drills this week, I mean, it's extra special focus on the technique and how you tackle, because missed tackles will end up in points.
Well, the Jaguars struggled to throw the ball in their first two games, but their sophomore quarterback, Brecken Miller, had a breakout game last week when he passed for 167 yards and 3 touchdowns. You know, did you see a lot of growth from him on film from that, from that game?
Yeah. I mean, they kind of split time that first game, and then, they got upset at Slimmore. I just don't think they needed to. Mm-hmm. He's obviously very talented. I know he's a good all-around athlete. His brother is an Iowa State guy.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of special bloodline there. So I know he's a great competitor. He's a great, he's going to be a great player. Obviously, he's only a sophomore, but definitely have our eyes.
And Andrew, the Jaguars' defense has allowed an average of about 240 yards per game, and they've had a pick six in each of the last 2 weeks. You know, what has impressed you about their defense?
They're all solid. Well, score on them, be efficient on them.
And coach, I'm sure the Jaguars will focus a lot of their defensive attention on Laramie, just like you'll be focusing on Morgan. But you guys have been able to have success through the air as well, in large part due to Andrew, who has accounted for nearly 40% of your team's receptions. You know, do you feel like with his size that he gives you a matchup advantage there just about every week?
Oh, yeah. He's, I don't know if there's someone that there's not one person that can take it. I'll put Andrew's hands on the same sort of basis. It's, you see it in the NFL, guys, like, if he's done it once, he's probably done it 100 times, and probably just one hand grab, just nothing.
No.
I could never do that, but yeah, it's fun to watch him catch the ball, because he's so efficient. He's obviously strong, route running's fantastic, so he's going to be another one that it's just going to go up, people are going to notice if you keep going through the year here.
And Andrew, I'm sure you feel like your physical advantage, gives you an edge as well. Are you confident anytime Kel looks your way that you'll be able to come down with the ball? And coach, you guys will be looking to avenge last year's 31-10 loss to the Jaguars. That game was tied at halftime, though, and the history of this series has seen a lot of close games. The previous four meetings were all one-score games. So do you expect another close game?
I do. I hope so. We didn't play last year in the second half, but they were – last year's team, they had physically dominated with they had front and running back wise, but I feel like we're bigger and stronger this year than we were. So I'm hopeful that we just go do what we do, don't make mistakes, don't shoot ourselves in the foot, and hopefully it'll be a close game.
And Andrew, this is a huge rivalry game, of course, and the winner of it will come away with a 3-1 record and will be sitting in a pretty good spot as far as making the playoffs. The loser will be 2-2 and will still have a lot of work to do. You guys still have some tough games to come against Sioux City East, Johnston, and Valley. So the stakes for this one are pretty high, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
And coach, if it is a tight game, then certainly special teams would play a big role in the outcome. Your team recovered an onside kick in last week's game and also scored on a 2-point conversion. So have you been happy with your special teams thus far this season?
Yeah, we have. Obviously, Kenny Gonzalez, our starting kicker. He's been out the last 2 weeks with a hip flexor. He's fine. He's back this week. So that's a big relief on all of us because Kenny has a strong leg. So all of a sudden, struggling to make extra points, that'll be a kick field goal with a good leg. That'll be a big plus for us.
Well, of course, you guys have to deal with the rain tonight. You know, if it does happen to rain on Friday, I mean, the kickers are going to have to deal with that as well as, you know, everybody. Do you think the rain would have much of an impact on the game?
I hope not. You know, you just want it to be the best team in the country. But obviously, it depends how hard it rains. But I don't think it's supposed to be that hard. Things change around here.
Andrew, I'll let you guys go with this one last question. You know, I'm sure you'd like to avenge that loss from last year, but you were a part of the Ankeny team that defeated Centennial twice in the 2023 season, including once in the Class 5A semifinals. You know, I don't know if winning Friday would be able to top that victory, but, you know, assuming that this will be your final game against the Jaguars, what would that mean to you to win the rivalry game one last time?
Everything good. I mean, this is, you can't take any game for granted, but obviously the rivalry games are another level of that, the games in the season.
Well, it could be a fun one. I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you guys there on Friday. And thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
You bet. Welcome to the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa, by Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When it comes to real estate, experience matters. At Legacy Realty, we pride ourselves on having one of the largest and most experienced teams in Ankeny, with over 75 agents strong. As one of the top brokerages in the metro, our local agents bring unparalleled knowledge of the market to help you make the best decisions for your home sale or purchase. Whether you're buying your first home, upgrading, or looking to sell, our team is ready to provide expert guidance every step of the way. Backed by the national strength of LPT Realty, we offer cutting-edge tools and marketing strategies to ensure your success. Legacy Realty of Iowa, your trusted partner for buying or selling in Central Iowa. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had football coaches Ryan Pizzetti of Centennial and Jeff Bauer of Ankeny, along with seniors Andrew Brandhorst of Ankeny and Will Morris of Centennial. And we also did a segment with CISN broadcaster Paul Yeager. I appreciate the time from all those folks. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.